To my dearest friends, I am honored to welcome you back once more for a long-awaited return to the roaring industrial hellscapes of the Adeptus Mechanicus. For the scions of Mars, we could almost see them as an empire in of their own, admittedly one which has been functionally integrated into the wider imperium of man. But at its core, this technocratic realm is fueled by the churning industry of its innumerable forge worlds. To those who are uninformed, a forge world is a planet held in the iron palm of the Mechanicus, which has seen fit to strip away every last trace of organic weakness, reshaping the very continents into sprawling networks of manufacturer, so as to construct new technologies, all to venerate their omnisire. Across those blackened surfaces, we would find nary a blade of grass, for every inch of ground is to be encased in whirring machinery, erected beneath the shadows of millennia-old foundries, themselves dwarfed by the steel spires of space elevators, piercing the heavens to connect with orbital shipyards. The original ecosystems will have obviously been obliterated during their transformation, the air poisoned with acrid fumes, rivers irrevocably clogged with chemical sludge, and entire oceans drained, destined to be used as short-lived cooling for the colossal forge. Life upon these worlds is maintained only so long as it may serve the needs of the forge. The populations will often be quite immense, but the conditions are generally so harsh that the vast majority of humans upon a forge world will actually consist of servitors who are modified cyborgs, reformed into semi-conscious beings of servitude. The rest will be of the Skitari legions, who defend the forge masters of the tech priests, carrying out their every directive so as to ensure their production quotas are always exceeded. All forge worlds swear their oaths of fealty to Mars, as it was indeed the first of their kind, and all may in fact be able to trace their lineage back to the early explorers who departed from the Red Planet in its earliest history. The Fabricator General of Mars, who serves as the de facto head of the entire Mechanicus, holds the divine right to judge all forge worlds by the Martian interpretation of their mechanical theology. In addition, any new technological discoveries made during their quests for knowledge must be reported to Mars, as who better to ascertain the divinity of a piece of machinery than the keepers to the original forge? In practice, however, it is rare to find a forge world which has entirely surrendered its autonomy to the strict practices of those Martian priests. It would be unthinkable for a tech priest to surrender a newfound piece of archaeotech to Mars before even bringing it back to their own forge world for a more complete study. If their analysis revealed new insights or secrets to the nature of the machine god, then perhaps it would be logical to retain that information to themselves, giving their own forge world a hidden superiority to Mars itself. This, of course, extends further, as those discoveries can sometimes shift the doctrinal beliefs or interpretations of divinity amongst the tech priests, leading to divergent ideas as to what the cult Mechanicus actually is. As I mentioned, the Fabricator General of Mars is intended to serve as the arbiter of all theological differences, but with the Imperium embroiled in a constant war, some of these divergences have been allowed to take root and grow. This has resulted in some level of conflict between the forge worlds, where one's interpretation of the Omnisire's nature might justify their raiding against competing factions, or even to declare an all-out war against a rival planet. The differences between the Forge worlds will become far more apparent when they wage their rare wars against one another, though I must stress that these conflicts never last for long and are usually more focused around resources than of conquest or extermination. One faction might see technology as so sacred that it cannot be targeted during a battle, whereas another might see machinery as being fallible to the dark intent of its user, thereby allowing them to indiscriminately bombard rival forges into fields of twisted ruin. Their Skitarii legions, meanwhile, will walk in their blessed raiments, tinted to the chosen colors of their Forge World's ruling priests, further adorned with the sacred symbols to their home, and often with the markings of Mars, if they wish to pay them any respects. Back upon their planets, the different Forge worlds might favor distinct production methods, with certain alloys proclaimed as sacred and necessary in every operation, or specific fuels being heretical and outlawed under pain of death. Similarly, the consecrated oils and holy incense of their spiritual cleansings might differ between worlds, while the actual languages to exalt the mechanical divine might range from conventional binaric to hexamathic code, or to the incredibly esoteric dialect of Nusferic Bleed. But those rituals will be performed upon the Forge World's unique design patterns of technology, which are distinct variations of armor, weapons, or perhaps most famously, titans, where there is often a fierce debate over the superior aesthetics of either the Mars or Lucius pattern of Titan. But now that we understand a little more about what a Forge world is and of what makes the different planets so distinct from one another, perhaps it is time for us to hone in on a few of the more unique of the Mechanicus worlds. We will begin with Metallica, a planet that has become a literal shell of metallicity in its pursuit of mechanical purity. Next to Lucius, a hollow planet in which the tech priests harness the power of an artificial sun to fuel their colossal engines. Thirdly, we will turn to Styges 8, a forge moon shrouded in an aura of mystery and distrust, where secretive sects covet the study of forbidden alien technology. Lastly, we shall visit Agrippina, the embattled world on the edge of the Eye of Terror, scarred by eternal war and forced to transform even fleeing refugees into servants to the undying Forge. But with this in mind, my dearest friends, I do believe that our introductions are now complete, and that it is now time for us to begin. As we once again don our rod suits and venture into the lightless abyss, I am sure you will all be most surprised at just how wildly different the Forge worlds can be, and of how far the tech priests will go in their veneration to the Omnisire. The first planet on our itinerary would be none other than the gleaming giant of Metallica. Located within the infamous Caridon sector of Segmentum Ultima, it has become perhaps best known for the fact that no natural landscapes remain upon its surface, as every inch of that globe has now been sheathed in dull gunmetal and crusted over by layer upon layer of manufacturia. It was once a typical world of earth and ocean, but those days are long lost, and now its surface is entirely metallic, coldly hung against the void as a patchwork of vast steel plates, topped with sprawling networks of well-oiled infrastructure. There is absolutely no flora nor fauna to have survived the tech priest's transformation, who insisted on the complete and total purge of all organic life intentionally driving every last species to extinction so that nothing biological could remain to contaminate their grand work. The endless stretches of adamantine must remain untarnished by any means necessary, and as it so happens, the tech priests of Metallica saw utter sterility as the simplest method towards achieving that goal. With that said, the scant organic life of the Forge world has been entirely imported, consisting of the many willing and unwilling servants to the cult Mechanicus. Hordes of wheezing servitors, their skin ragged and fluttering against rusted metallic limbs, will be commanded around the world by the hardy priests, directing them through the thin, poisoned air until they inevitably fall beneath the shadow of the Forge. New servitors, or at least prospective servitors, will be brought to the surface each day. And though this may seem rather brutish, or perhaps even cruel, we need to understand that Metallica is one of the great linchpins to the entire Segmenta. In but a solar year, the Forges are able to churn out such a prodigious stockpile of ammunition, weaponry, tanks, and even heavy aircraft that it could supply a dozen crusading fleets and still have spare to bolster the local forces of the Charadon sector. Further, in recent years, the region has become something of a galactic war zone, first having to fend off the aggressive hordes of the arch-arsonists Orcs, but more recently to expunge a colossal chaos invasion, with Typhus attempting to transform the entirety of Metallica into a suppurating pustule of Nurgle's rot. But returning to the world itself, the industrial landscapes of Metallica have clearly been designed to maximize the output of its endless foundries, which themselves stretch out on an almost unimaginable scale. The creeping forge complexes sprawl across the hemispheres, smokestacks rising high, belching out fuliginous clouds, which themselves gently fall back to the metallic fields as an ashy snowfall, though when warmed by the great smelters, this may condense into sulfurous acid rains. For the tech priests, I mentioned how they prize the purity of the machine, and with this being the case, it is understandable that they see their ceaseless production lines as being their connection to the machine god, as though they were bringing that divine will into existence with each new shell and with each new round. As such, they strive towards optimizing their industry to a greater extent than of most other Forge worlds, for the foundries can always be that much cleaner, and thus their output that much purer. The screaming of pistons, grinding of city-sized gears, the hissing rush of sacred coolant mixed with the buzzing of capacitor fields, the roaring of furnaces, and above it all, the ceaseless chanting of the cybernetic priesthood. It might be deafening to us, but to the technophants, that sound is nothing short of divinity itself. That chaotic and cacophonous din will be recorded and emitted across the wider planet so that every corner of the Forge world may tremble beneath the reverberating glory of their work. Ancient canyons, now reformed into mounts of steel for some curious method of forging, will act as natural amplifiers, shaking the metallic ground beneath them, sometimes so violently that servitors will literally break apart under that discordant barrage. It is understandable that a baseline human would struggle to survive for a single day upon Metallica, their eardrums rupturing, lungs burning, and eyes searing from the endless fall of caustic pollution. But equally, this is perhaps what makes it so appealing to the ruling tech priests. It is so undeniably hostile to organic life that no pests may possibly contaminate their production lines, maintaining their world as a purified utopia of industrial immaculacy. The scions of Mars have often attempted to intercede and temper this aversion to organic life, as of course it could very well give rise to the pursuit of fully synthetic life, which would be in violation of the sacred tenets of the machine cult. Metallica's lords, however, freely and openly reject such requests. They are situated so far from Mars that the Martian hand seems rather insignificant. Furthermore, if push ever came to shove, they maintain the Titan Legion of the Iron Skulls to defend their immaculate realm. Their Scutari would also stand unabashed, clad in their stark white robes, thought to represent the purity of the machine, defiant against the dark reds of feeble organic life. As I mentioned previously, Metallica was the center to a great invasion by Typhus and his Death Guard, which, while successfully repelled, did leave behind the disgusting and virulent taint of Nurgle's disease. This conflict, known as the War of Slime and Metal, involved a most pernicious ploy, whereby Typhus infected the world itself with a piece of heretical scrap code named as the Nemesis Worm, which allowed the warp's contagion to spread deeply within the otherwise sterile forge. This was eventually contained by the fastidious priesthood, though even today, with the war long ended, it will occasionally burst from quarantine, threatening pockets of the world with its malign corruption. At a certain point, it becomes impossible to build any new structures upon a world. The entire surface will one day be coated in industry, but if your kind have already constructed additional manufactura in high orbit, then perhaps the only option would be to dig. This was the case for the forge world of Lucius, though it is colloquially known as the Hollow Forge. Essentially, this is a planet which, in ages past, was hollowed out, excavating the entirety of the deeper mantle and core, and in that void was sparked an artificial star, burning so intensely that it could fuel the mega foundries of the Mechanicus. The tech priests of Lucius naturally claim to have overseen this gargantuan engineering project, but hold no proof of their involvement, and so it has been hypothesized that they perhaps inherited this world from some long extinct and rather advanced species. The feat seems to greatly exceed the current capabilities of the Mechanicus. But maybe it was just a relic from the dark age of technology, ignited by humans at a time where they were ignorant to the dangers of their own hubris. Regardless of its origins, the power levels supplied by this artificial star truly boggle the mind, and it would not be so outlandish to say that this world boasts perhaps the greatest levels of raw power across the entire Imperium. The planet's unique access to what is essentially unlimited fusion energy has allowed the priesthood to conduct experiments and develop innovations that would be impossible elsewhere. This has led to the creation of a prized alloy known as Lucian, obviously named after the world itself, but it is well renowned for its durability and strength, and so is often used for the finest pieces of masterwork weaponry or advanced bionic augmentations. Being a hollow shell of a world, the exterior of Lucius can appear quite strange to an outsider. The barren surface is riddled with countless shafts and openings, some miles wide, that lead down into the interior vaults and subterranean forges. The bulk of the manufactoria and hive structures cling to the inner surface of the hollow crust, arranged around the central sun in layers, with the closest consisting of those which require the greatest sum of raw energy. We can travel down through massive gateways, emerging within these hanging forge cities, though it is doubtful we will find any windows, allowing us to gaze directly into the incandescent glory of a captive star. Great arrays of mirrors and lenses will be scattered across the inner walls, directing and focusing the sun's power to wherever it is most needed. Of course, some of the raw heat will be captured to maintain the unimaginable temperatures needed for the Titanic forges, but since they may draw from an entire star, there will never be a shortage of power. The industrial output of Lucius is truly rather staggering, but I would expect nothing less from a forge so vast that it requires an entire star to power it. So valuable are its creations that the planet has been made exempt from all forms of tithe. After all, why interfere with a forge that builds some of the most powerful tools available to mankind? Everything from basic lasguns through to Astartes battle tanks roll off their production lines, often regarded as some of the finest examples of such things, but perhaps their most famous creation would be of the Lucian pattern of Titans. Next to Mars, Lucius is perhaps the most prolific exporter of battle Titans in the galaxy, shipping off its towering war engines to wherever they are needed most. The Forge World also hosts the Legio Astorum, though some within the Imperium have started referring to them unofficially as the Warp Runners. These are some of the most technologically sophisticated and advanced of Titans known to man, as they do in fact hold the coveted ability to teleport directly into a battle, phasing through the Immaterium to appear upon the field without warning. Other Titan legions must be deployed far more carefully, though I use the word carefully quite loosely, as they will typically be sent via gargantuan drop pods, or made to walk off of giant transportation vessels. But the warp-running Titan Legion will be piloted by princeps grown and trained within the so-called Clone Academy of the Overcity, though we know very little about its operations or training programs. Culturally, the Scions of Lucius are unwaveringly loyal to the Martian orthodoxy, but this was certainly not always the case. In ages past, the entire Forge world was swept up by an event known as the Inculcata Schism, though we have no clear picture on whether this was some form of civil war or just a radical doctrinal shift. Regardless, it almost resulted in the critical overloading of the central Star Forge, which would have certainly cascaded into a supernova, destroying the entirety of the forge and the local star system. Thankfully, this event did not come to pass, and it has been stricken from most Mechanicus records, but it did lead to quite a drastic change within the Lucian priesthood. They had clearly been shaken to their cores over the possibility of losing their forge, and so utterly forbade any and all divergences from the Martian norm, essentially making them into one of the most fervently loyal of forge worlds in the entire galaxy. Our next forge world is technically not a world at all, but a moon, a forge moon to be precise. But this distinction is almost entirely irrelevant, as it's still a realm which the Mechanicus have transformed into endless industry. This moon would be of none other than Styges 8, and is found within the Segmentum Pacificus, orbiting a ringed gas giant within its binary star system. For the past 10,000 years, it has proclaimed its loyalties to Mars. However, as we will soon learn, it actually conceals an incredibly dark reputation, and it is one which certainly crosses the border of tech heresy. The Forge Moon itself is rather unremarkable at first glance, being a comparatively small orb of smog-choked factories nestled in dense clusters of industry, interspaced by fields of polluted waste and troves of irradiated scrap. But when we delve into its history, we will find that this moon was almost entirely destroyed by the forces of chaos. During the Horus heresy, Styges VIII teetered on the precipice of defeat as the heretical legions made planetfall and swept out to seize the means of production so as to fuel their warpath en route to Terra. Isolated and besieged by the heretics, the moon appeared as an easily claimed prize until, unexpectedly, the siege was broken and the priests were saved by a strike force of the Eldari. The enigmatic ancients appeared from the labyrinthine webway for reasons known only to themselves, but their intervention was swift enough to postpone the fall of Styges to the forces of chaos. Just as quickly as they appeared, did the Eldari depart, but their brief presence had clearly left a most profound mark upon the grateful populace. The tech priests upon Styges VIII developed a techno-heretical obsession with the alien sciences, abandoning their prior adherence to the Martian creed, though they obviously maintained a facade of loyalty, so as not to incite the enforcers of Mars. There is also a theory that the Stygian priests had already developed a relationship with the Eldari prior to the heresy, and that this is why they came to their salvation, but we have no way of knowing which story is true. In any event, the priesthood formed a secretive sect upon their moon, one which would eventually become quite widespread throughout the Mechanicus, but they would be known as the Xenorites. Essentially, they favor a radical interpretation of the cult Mechanicus, which justifies their collection, adaptation, and use of alien technology, since, of course, all technology should be treasured if they are indeed to venerate the machine god. Mainstream beliefs read that all alien tech is abominable and that the inbound machine spirits are deformed and enslaved, being fit for destruction and nothing else. But the Xenorites see the vastness of alien science as an untapped reservoir, which, when harvested, could accelerate humanity's quest for knowledge and further their understanding of the machine god. Styges VIII, being a hotbed of Xenorite activity, has become infamous for its acceptance of xenophilic tech priests who are free to collect and study their alien treasures, far from the prying eyes of the Martian cult. Quite interestingly, not a single one of these priests, not even of the ruling Fabricator General, knows of their historical tale involving the Eldari interdiction. This is truly rather astounding, as surely the event would have been venerated as some founding moment for the Xenorites, and so we are left to speculate as to why the Xenophiles do not remember their own past. Regardless, the Xenorite exploratory fleets will specifically venture into regions of space known to be inhabited by alien races, waging great wars against the Xenos, purely so as to take their technologies from out of their cold, dead hands. This is an important point, as we need to remember that the Xenorites, though interested in alien technology, are still adherents to the machine god, and still believe that humanity, cybernetic or not, must ascend to claim the entire galaxy for its own rule. In any event, they will cut down Tau hunter cadres studying their technologies to develop novel anti-grav thrusters for their own forge. Drukhari and Eldari hosts will be eviscerated, as of course those ancients possess many a unique tool from their old empire, which could be adapted into some human weapon of war. Most unfortunately, the Xenorites have also been known to attack Imperial forces, often to claim a trove of alien equipment destined for destruction, in which case the humans will be utterly exterminated, so as to conceal the techno-heretical nature of the priests. These attacks, as well as the operations upon Styges VIII, are all hidden by the Xenorites through the use of secret binary ciphers, obfuscatory subcodes, shrouding technologies thought to be sourced from Eldari shielding, as well as the simple facade of feigning ignorance when faced with accusation. Despite being quite adept at all this subterfuge, the wider Mechanicus does view the Forge Moon of Styges VIII with an eye of suspicion, though they've never been able to prove that the Stygians are truly up to no good. The Xenorites have become quite infamous for raiding the dormant tomb worlds of the Necrons so as to steal away their technology or to find any shards of a material known as Noctolith, though most within the Imperium refer to it as Blackstone. Because of this, they have knowingly awoken many ancient dynasties, which now wage open wars against the Imperium. But to the priests, this is irrelevant, for they only care to get their mechadendrites on new pieces of alien technology and truly nothing else. Perhaps the most interesting tale of the Xenorites of Styges VIII would be of an expedition which they lost within the depths of the Eldari webway. Within their home system of Vulcanis, the priests discovered a dormant webway portal, which after a lengthy investigation was reactivated, allowing the Forge Lords to send an entire fleet into the labyrinth. Rabid in their fascination over all things alien, they ultimately hoped to discover the fabled location of the Black Library, plunder it for all its worth, and bring that incomparable wealth of knowledge back to their home. Funnily enough, however, as soon as the final vessel passed into the webway, the portal sealed and vanished behind them. And to this very day, those lost Xenorites have never been heard from again. Our final Forge world for today is often referred to as the Orb of a Million Scars, but ignoring that rather flowery title, it is officially known as Agrippina. This planet, over its long history, has endured punishment that few worlds could possibly withstand, as it is in fact located on the perilous edge of the Eye of Terror, constantly exposing it to the roiling maelstrom of the warp. Naturally, this means that it has remained on the front lines of the long war against Chaos since the days of the Horus Heresy. But until very recently, it was not alone in its harsh vigil. In the days before the Great Rift rent the galaxy asunder, Agrippina served as the primary forge world for the defenders of the Cadian Gate, which was a strategically vital region, situated around the world of Cadia, tasked with containing the chaotic forces within the Eye. As such, the forge was responsible for supplying each and every guardsman of the Cadian regiments, maintaining their armored battalions, erecting defensive fortifications, whilst also stockpiling their necessarily endless stores of munitions, armaments, and logistical tools. In return, the Cadians would defend Agrippina from the numerous chaotic incursions. However, as we all know, the fortress of Cadia was destroyed in the closing years of the 41st millennium, leaving the Forge world exposed and ripe for the taking. Thankfully, however, the world had always suffered under the weight of chaos, with rival warpsmiths and lords specifically targeting Agrippina in the hopes of disrupting its supply to Cadia, or to simply plunder its many technological secrets. With each new attack, the priests of Agrippina increasingly fortified their planet. And so, when Cadia did finally fall, the Forge world was not left completely vulnerable to the inevitable attacks. But the scale of the prior raids has since been overshadowed by this new era of war. Chaos War hosts ceaselessly plot their invasions of the Forge, unleashing wave after wave of fanatical heretics, sometimes blotting out the eerie view of the Eye of Terror from the sheer volume of drop pods raining down from on high. Yet, despite the chaos, Agrippina has yet to fall. Its surfaces bear the innumerable scars behind its common moniker, with impact craters from cyclonic torpedoes slowly filling with the rubble of crumbled hive sections, meeting with planes of glass where arcane weaponry scorched the ground. The atmosphere, already acrid and bitter from the Forge, grows increasingly toxic due to the world's proximity to the corruptive energies of the exposed warp. But the main industrial complexes are now shielded, mainly to preserve the manufactoria from any errant pieces of scrap code. The bombardments of heavy ordnance never really end, but the defensive batteries of Agrippina are rather effective in intercepting the larger bombs, which light up the hazy clouds with every premature detonation. It is now a world of war, but this does not mean it ever ceased in its operations as a mighty forge world of the Adeptus Mechanicus. It is rare to find a tech priest who cares for much beyond technology, but even war, brutal as it may be, poses a series of unique opportunities towards discovery. The priests record the vast troves of combat data from each engagement, condensing, refining, and analyzing every single shot, every casualty, and every outcome, which will then be used to influence future tactics for the Skitarii cohorts. This self-improvement, combined with the sheer necessity of maintaining a prodigious military presence, has resulted in Agrippina's Skitarii becoming quite legendary amongst the Mechanicus factions. They guard the shielded hive complexes along with the Titan Legion of Legio Presidium Vortex, whose colossal god engines stride the blasted landscapes, ready to obliterate greater demons and chaos titans in kind. The Forge world, given its importance, is well supplied by both agri and mining worlds, which export a constant stream of raw materials to maintain the quotas and fighting ability of Agrippina. Of course, these planets have come under attack from the forces of chaos, with Typhus notably corrupting an entire agri-world into a pestilent plague realm, threatening the Forge with collapsing under starvation. Over time, the priests of this world have grown to truly hate the Chaos Warlords, primarily due to the fact that their every attempt at conquering the Forge, even if unsuccessful, results in the gradual corruption of their sacred home. Plagues, demonic incursions, warp storms, and other immaterial phenomena are common occurrences upon Agrippina. But the priesthood have gradually perfected a number of methods towards slaughtering the heretics in the hopes that they will one day be free from their taint. Quite interestingly, the Mechanicus is not solely on the defensive on this world, as whenever there is a lull in the invasive forces, the priests will send out aggressive expeditions into the Eye of Terror, aiming their cohorts against hellforges, which are bombarded with merciless castigation. Unfortunately, however, the constant offensive and defensive operations have naturally led to the Skitarii of Agrippina suffering catastrophic levels of casualties, which to any other Forge world would almost certainly spell their demise. But this problem has since been rectified in a manner most dark. In a tragic twist of fate, Agrippina has become the focal point for refugees fleeing from chaotic activities in the local sectors. But where the humans see salvation, the Mechanicus only find resources. The refugees are assessed, catalogued, and shuttled throughout the hives, some destined to be transfigured into servitors, some to be enhanced into Skitarii warriors, but none to be left unmodified, and none spared from their service to the Omnissiah. It is not known if the Imperium is aware of the tech priests abducting and transfiguring millions of its citizens into unwilling slaves to the machine, but even if they were, it would likely remain as a practice that they are forced to permit. Since the fall of Cadia, Agrippina is now perhaps the greatest bastion against the forces pouring out from the Eye of Terror. And so, if it requires the sacrifices of untold innocents to continue in its duties, then those humans will be remembered as martyrs, giving up their lives in the endless war against chaos. The Imperium is an empire of a million worlds, some separated by distances of thousands of light years, and so it is only natural for those planets to have diverged over time as they undergo their own unique histories and pave their own path through time. It is the same with the numerous chapters of the Space Marines, whose deeds have taken them to every corner of the cosmos, specializing and refining themselves into vastly distinct, yet equally effective, angels of death. So, with this being the case for the Imperials, it is completely understandable that the same divergences would occur between disparate Forge worlds. Each one is the product of its own history, environment, and the beliefs of its ruling tech priests, who have guided their servants through the ages to develop their own cultures, production practices, methods of waging war, and even of strategies towards discovering new technologies. Metallica's priests, in their pursuit of cybernetic purity, coated their world entirely in steel, permanently sterilizing its surface for but a few percentage points gain in their annual production. Lucius's lords dwell above a captive star, draining that stellar Goliath for all its worth to forge their exquisite weapons, all while remaining unwaveringly orthodox in their personal faith. The Xenorites of Styges VIII skulk in the shadows, taking what are frankly ridiculous risks at covering up their obsession with prescribed lore and alien treasures. Agrippina's masters, scarred by a million battles, have been forced into a cold pragmatism that outdoes all other Forge worlds, as they convert human lives into living weapons with the same merciless nature as an uncaring god. Truly, no two are alike, but these have been just four of the more notable of Forge worlds, and in a galaxy as vast as ours, there are sure to be thousands more, just as unique and just as divergent as the last. The Forge moon of Deimos, for instance, was once a moon to Mars, but was relocated to orbit the Saturnite moon of Titan, where it serves as the secret armory to the demon hunters of the Grey Knights. Upon the world of Graia, which has been nicknamed as the Crown of Miracles, they have bred their Skitarii to be more akin to automata than of cybernetic warriors, being so disciplined in battle that they will unshakingly march into molten firestorms, knowing it will result in their certain demise. Their world is orbited by the Great Graian Crown, an orbital ring of space stations within which the Skitarii will reside, utilizing ancient technologies to teleport their cohorts across the entire breadth of the galaxy. The priesthood of Ryza, meanwhile, are well known for their divergent interpretation of Martian lore, following a belief known as the Omnissiah Igvita, where they see burning drops of plasma as being the literal lifeblood of the Omnissiah. Thus, they are devoted towards the discovery and production of plasma-based weaponry, becoming quite famous for their patterns of super-heavy Stormblade tanks, and of the plasma annihilators attached to Emperor-class battle titans. But a deeper investigation into these worlds will have to wait for another day. As for now, my dearest friends, I do believe that we have come to our end. Thank you all so much for listening to this sermon on the Divergent Forge worlds of the galaxy in its entirety. And I do hope you enjoyed our little tour. In any event, I must once again depart. And so, as I leave you all for another week, I shall wish each and every one of you with a very warm goodbye.